This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, thanks for being here this afternoon. September National Disaster Preparedness Month, or something like that. I've seen it written several different ways, and I'm sure Wayne Stinson could tell me exactly what it's called.
National Preparedness Month, Kyle.
There you go. Okay. And Wayne is the county emergency manager. Emily Ring in with him as well. Emily, thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon.
And I understand that you get this gig at a few days.
I do. We've actually been co-piloting this gig for a little while, but it's officially being handed off here shortly.
So we're going to talk more about that and about Wayne's time with the county in a bit here. But, you know, we've talked before. In fact, it is kind of an oddity. Every time Wayne comes in, there's been a disaster. That's usually what brings
Strange.
You in. After the fact, to talk about the response to it or how to deal with the next one. And bottom line, a lot of folks just aren't prepared.
That's probably one of the biggest concerns. Emily and I have talked about that a lot since she came on board, is just the lack of preparedness of citizens in general. I mean, we have disasters almost every year, some of them a lot worse, but the preparedness starts at the individual level.
Now, talk about some of the disasters we've had as a county. You know, I was going over a sheet that one of the staff put out this morning, and though you've been here a lot longer than I have, I was still backing up going, oh my gosh, I forgot about that one, and I forgot about this one, and then there's a whole bunch that you really can't forget about.
Yeah, you know, obviously, it's fire season. We're in another fire season now. We've got people evacuated. Fires are almost an annual, unfortunately, almost an annual event anymore, or annual disaster in Douglas County. Then we face winter storms, you know, during the winter season, wind storms, the snow event that we had called Snowmageddon in 2019. How can you forget that? And it just, the list goes on and on with severe winter storms and fires and wind storms and landslides. And
sometimes you see them coming based on weather patterns, but some things just happen, out of left field, earthquakes in some places and that kind of thing. The snowpocalypse, Snowmageddon, whichever term you want to use, I mean, that one wasn't supposed to happen, and I remember not 24 hours earlier telling one of my friends somewhere that, well, it never snows really in Roseburg.
It never snows in Roseburg, except it did. And that one, actually, we were looking at a significant flood event for that, and some weather patterns changed, and all of a sudden, instead of rain, we got snow. And then look what we ended up with.
Yeah, that one, you know, I actually was kind of in here. That was a Sunday before it started, kind of came in later on Sunday. And I was looking at a lot of weather forecasts, and I saw a model from somebody who I knew was highly regarded in Portland. And I thought, what? That can't be right. And I looked around, and he was the only one that had that. And everybody else was saying rain and rain. And around dinner time, it became obvious that maybe he was on to something.
He was on to it. Unfortunately, we ended up with a significant snow event that caused a lot of problems with the utilities and roads and power outages and everything that goes along with heavy snow.
What about the 96 floods there? And that wasn't just one event particularly. It seemed like that was kind of over a period of a few weeks.
We refer to that as a 96-97 flood event because it kind of, we had an event in 96, and then we had another event come up in 97. And once again, we'd had a lot of rain that year, and then the grounds were already saturated, and then we got a tremendous amount of rain for over an extended period of time.
And, I mean, that one was, you had loss of life, you had a sinkhole on the freeway, which seemed you know, unreal that something like that could actually happen. And again, a lot of times people weren't ready, and the first thing they do is call and want somebody like you or working with you to solve their problem in the next half hour, please.
Yeah, the sinkhole on Interstate 5 was interesting. That was quite an event, routing all of Interstate 5 traffic through Roseburg, which caused its own problems. But yes, back to the individuals needing assistance, you know, a lot of it is because they haven't done preparedness at their own level, and they're not really thinking about what may happen, you know, if the power goes out. You know, if the power goes out tomorrow, how long can they sustain themselves on what they have? Or do they have a generator? Do they have friends or something like that? And I know that Emily's been working a lot on trying to get outreach for individuals as well. And she can actually speak better on preparedness than I can. She's much better versed.
Aw, that's nice. I don't know if that's true, but where I came from, we had built up a preparedness campaign for the general public, and we did what we kind of half jokingly called 7-week boot camps, and as well as just, you know, one-off events and things like that. I don't know yet if Douglas County has interest in that type of thing. I'm still learning the communities, and different communities are going to be interested in different things. But in terms of just general preparedness, we like to say everyone should learn to be the help until help arrives. And that kind of speaks to when it comes to experiencing an emergency, we all do better if we all have a role to play. Even if it's very small, there's no insignificant role. So that can be I'm helping with a phone tree for my neighborhood, or that can be I'm checking in that my elderly neighbor has water and doesn't need assistance, or I'm going to watch the kids while this other neighbor who's a volunteer firefighter can go respond. Or there's just a whole, you know, wide variety. If you have kids, you know, sometimes it can be listening to Wayne talk about all of the history, the many things he's had to experience and support people through, that can be anxiety producing for some people, and it can feel overwhelming. Like for us, if we're in this type of work, it's more interesting than anxiety producing because we're quirky that way. It's motivating. But for some people, instead of feeling motivated, they feel shut down. So we try to break it into little bite-sized pieces. So what can you do today? You could make sure that your flashlight has fresh batteries. Like the fact that you have a working flashlight and you know where to find it when you need it can be super, super helpful.
We have some in our house, allegedly.
Yes.
I don't know where, if you had me look right now, I don't know where any of them are.
Yes, particularly if you have, you know, pets and kids, and it can be a real scramble if you know, let's say you have to evacuate or relocate quickly. Just knowing where those leashes are or those harnesses are or those pet crates are, and if the kids are old enough responsible, hey, your job is going to be to take the cat and put that cat in that crate, and that will be your task so that we can focus on getting the car keys and loading the car. And you know, just again, little bite-sized thing that you work on today will help you in the long run. A lot of this preparedness mentality is to reduce your stress. Some people feel like, well, if I think or talk about a disaster, it's almost like giving it life, you know. There's sort of that like concern about that, but really what we find is the more prepared people are, the more at ease they feel and the less anxiety they feel in the moment. Oh, that's right, we did talk about doing this thing. That's right, I said I would go to my aunt's house or whatever that looks like, right? I'll pause for a moment there.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background. You've obviously been doing this for a while. Where have you been at?
Been living in the woods, a little further south. So I just recently came from emergency management in Josephine County. I also worked at the county level there. That was my most recent position. I've done a variety of things in the past. I've been a first responder in the past. I don't consider myself that anymore. If you put me on the fire line today, I would probably not be very in shape or useful, but I have different skills that I offer these days. I did crisis counseling, domestic violence work. I was a ranger for a brief period of time, and natural resource specialist. So I have a little bit of all of that feeds into emergency management, because emergency management is all hazards and all partners. So we don't get to just, Wayne can't just say, I really love floods. I'm only going to think about floods. Or I can't say, I really love fire. We have to think about hazardous materials, and we have to think about all just a whole variety of things. And people expect us to be versed in those things and to have good relationships across the county and across partners.
All right, we're going to talk more about this when we come back. Emily Ring, Wayne Stinson with us. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. County Commissioner Chris Boyce on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program. We're talking about September being National Preparedness Month. County Emergency Manager Wayne Stinson and incoming manager Emily Ring with us. And Wayne, one of the aspects to this, I mean, you talk about people being prepared, but is people not, you know, everybody's kind of with all the technology, there's a lot of advantages, and that probably has really helped in your field in particular versus when you started. But a lot of people don't even really know who their neighbors are. I mean, when disasters hit, do you know if somebody might need some help around you? I mean, that's a starting point for a lot of people.
Well, it is. And when, as Emily talked a little bit beforehand, a little bit of preparedness goes a long ways. But, you know, knowing your neighbors, knowing the strengths of your neighborhoods and who may need help in your neighborhood is also a big advantage, because then you take that next step from preparedness from the individual to the family. Individual and family preparedness, and then you do your neighborhood preparedness as well. And that's all just a stepping stone of getting better prepared. You know, who has, you know, maybe who has a piece of heavy equipment that could clear a tree if it comes down across your road, especially in the real remote areas. You could, in a winter storm or windstorm, you could be isolated for a considerable amount of time before, you know, a piece of heavy equipment gets out there to move the tree.
And even, you know, the Snowmageddon, Snowpocalypse, one of the things that came home for people like us that don't have kids at home was, oh, we don't really have a lot of food around the house. You know, that way, and we weren't without power very long. We were out maybe 10 hours. That was, you know, small compared to a lot of people. But suddenly, you know, exactly what can we make to eat, and half the places we wanted to go get food from were closed because they didn't have power.
Yeah, and I wanted to speak to that a little bit. We kind of like to talk about preparedness is a combination of skills, drills, and stuff. So the skills are, you know, can you run a chainsaw? Do you have some cool knot tying skills? Can you sew a button on? You know, all those kinds of variety of life skills. And drills are about, you know, practicing things, practicing your preparedness equipment or your plan. And then the stuff, like you're talking about, extra cans of food, whatever. Some of us can't afford to buy stuff or don't have the room to store it if we live maybe in a little apartment or a rented room. And so then you just focus more on your skills and your drills, right? So if I can't afford to get some of this stuff, how can I provide my skills to make some of my own? Like here in my household, we do a lot of dehydration of food. So we're not, you know, going out to Costco typically and getting a whole bunch of canned goods, but we grow things in our garden and we dehydrate it. You know, everybody can take their own approach to that. But we'd like to have conversations with folks at their particular life circumstance, what's going to work for them, and then we do some problem solving with them and help them move along that path of preparedness. I did want to note something real quick, if I might. We're here in between our time at the fire camp, so we've been going back and forth, and we're going to head back out there this evening. But I wanted to note, if folks wanted to meet me and talk to me about their personal preparedness or anything else. As part of National Preparedness Month, I'm going to be participating in an event here in Roseburg on September 7th. That's at the ODHS Self-Sufficiency Office off of Harvard Avenue here in Roseburg. That's their, what they call their Community First Thursday event. I'll be out there. I'll have a bunch of stuff and be available. I can sign people up for Citizen Alert and talk with folks if they want to.
Now, we've got about 4 minutes left in the program. Wayne, you're allegedly retiring in like 2 days.
I am. Friday is my last official day with the Sheriff's Office and Emergency Management.
Boo.
You began as a volunteer 50 years ago?
Gosh, you're going to make me do the math. Whatever it was in like 73, 74 is when I was a volunteer, started out as a volunteer with
them. I didn't know they let kindergartners volunteer. So how did you get interested in this area?
Actually, I had a friend that got lost up in the Boulder Creek Wilderness area, and we'd moved away from Togetee at that time. It's up near Diamond Lake, and moved back to the Roseburg area, and I read about what happened and found out about the search and rescue program at that time and started volunteering.
So you were a volunteer for a while. So that was like in high school?
Yes, in high school.
And how did it evolve from there?
I actually was planning on looking into the Coast Guard Rescue Swimmer program after leaving high school. And at that time, they offered me a full-time job because I'd been with the search and rescue program and put in a lot of hours, and they needed a part-time person. So I got offered a part-time job, and then that worked into a full-time job, and the rest is history.
So 45 years full-time with Douglas County. Not a lot of people stay in one place that long. Why was this clearly your life's work?
Well, I loved search and rescue early on, and the more I got involved, there's a lot of good things that came out of the program. There's a lot of volunteers that have came through the Sheriff's Office search and rescue program. And then, emergency management or disaster preparedness, whatever they want to call it, started to become a thing. And that role got assigned to me, kind of a dual, both search and rescue and emergency management, emergency services. And then later on, both those programs started to expanding to be the point where it needed to be separated. So I stayed with the emergency management side, and with the sheriff's office, they assigned a full-time deputy to the search and rescue program.
So we've got a minute left. What has it been like to see all the changes in emergency management?
It's somewhat frightening, when I think back or even look forward, gives me anxiety a little bit when I think about everything, because as Emily said, we're expected to know all these hazards and know everything that needs to be done to mitigate them. And the demand from the public is just becoming more and more. Hence the reason every time you talk to us, you will probably hear us talk about individual preparedness, because there's just not enough police, firefighters, EMS, nurses, public works people out there to meet the needs in a major disaster.
And if you could tell people listening one thing that they ought to do to start addressing this in their own life, what would it be?
As Emily said, it's take a bite out of it. Do something small. Check your batteries. Go online. There's a ton of information about what you can do. It's called preparedness on a budget. You can go through that. You can do things, once a month, once a week, to try to get yourself and your family better prepared.
All right. Wayne Stinson retiring in 2 days after 50 years in Douglas County. All right. Thanks for coming in. Emily, I know we'll be talking to you more in the future as well.
Sounds good.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.